know, we are living in the greatest times this world has ever known. The Holy Spirit is moving. He's speaking to every one of us. If you are here and you don't know Jesus Christ, if you're watching online or listening to the podcast, Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives. You believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. If you're beginning your walk and your journey with God, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. If you are close to God, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. God is moving. But here's what we have to do, and we're going to learn in this series, that we have to stand up, because immediately the enemy comes in to steal the word. We got all fired up and excited this morning, didn't we? You know why? Not just because of these great songs and the great leading, but because the Holy Spirit is imparting truth into your spirit. And he is saying things to your soul, and it brought joy in your heart. But the enemy says, I don't like that. And Jesus said, immediately he comes to steal that word. So what we need to do as a church family right now is we have to rebuke that in Jesus' name. Amen? Let's do that right now. In Jesus' name, I rebuke that. I rebuke that doubt. I rebuke the false words. I rebuke the depression. I rebuke the attacks of the enemy that it's not going to work. In Jesus' name, we rebuke that. And now we begin to walk in joy that God, your plan for our lives are yea and amen, and they will come to pass in Jesus' name. And enemy, you said healing is not for me to some people. In Jesus' name, Jesus came for all people to heal them and to save them. And in Jesus' name, we proclaim the fullness of that now in all of our lives. Hallelujah. Everyone that believes that, say amen. Amen. High five someone before you're seated. Oh, I want to tell you, I am excited about this series. I'm excited about Easter. I have Easter every day of my life. I walk in that truth. But you have in your bulletin what we've been talking about, what we began, saying you are here. And also, we had passed this out, if you need this, how to lead someone to the Lord, because this is what God is doing. Salvation is arising. Clarity is beginning to happen because the Holy Spirit is speaking. The reason why the difficulty in the United States of salvation in churches, a lot of people grow because of transfer growth, but because of the confusion that is so rampant in our world, but the Holy Spirit right now is bringing total clarification. And people are going to be able to see things that they've never seen before. They have rejected the gospel for years, and now the Holy Spirit is turning up the fire, and people are beginning to see the truth that will set them free. But I want to talk to you about Easter, Good Friday service. On Good Friday, we have our service at 7 o'clock. We'll have an amazing time of worship, of singing, and a message. But we are going to be receiving communion. But in the communion, what we're receiving, we're going to have bread only. And then on Sunday morning, we're going to have the bread and the juice. But on Friday night, we're going to have the bread only because we felt led of the Holy Spirit that Good Friday, Jesus was whipped, beaten, took stripes on his back for our healing. And the Holy Spirit's led us to that evening to have a powerful evening healing service. Bring your friends, bring your family, because you will receive together as your family units the bread This is my body broken for you, Jesus said. And we're going to believe corporately as a church and for you as a family for the healing power of God to move. If you know people that are struggling in their marriages, bring them. Invite them out to dinner and then bring them to church at 7 o'clock. Give into this. We have to learn as a church that we are givers, but we need to learn to give even greater with the purpose of leading people to Jesus Christ, with a very focus of doing that, because this world is going to experience the power of the Holy Spirit, and through you, they will learn and they will grow like we're learning in this series. So mark it on your calendar, Good Friday, and then again, our normal services on Sunday for Easter, and we're going to have an amazing time. But watch this. God is preparing us, our hearts as a church, for this time, such a time as the Easter weekend. And I'm just saying this out. It's been in my heart for a while, but I'll just tell the staff, Joanne, Pastor Dan, Pastor Ryan, everybody, so I don't forget. All right? So just all remember on the staff that I want a couple weeks before Good Friday service on Sunday morning, I want our healing scriptures to be passed out to everybody so that you can prepare your heart by reading the healing scriptures and prepare your heart and your mind and even memorize some of the scriptures so that you can proclaim it when you come in. And I'm going to see some powerful things happen. I've experienced this healing anointing in the past couple years, not only personally, but I have with many people that I have prayed for. I've brought many people in my office and prayed for them continually and seeing their bodies recover and seeing miracles take place. I had a friendly visit from, many of you know, Pastor Scott Jefferson this week. And he was in for a wedding, and I was out of town, and then I came back, and he was leaving the next day, and he drove over here. And I was here on a Monday, and we sat for an hour and a half and talking about the miracles that took place in his life, where my wife and I and many other people joined together proclaiming scripture and standing in the gap, healing him. He is totally cancer-free, and God is restored, and just so wonderful for some of you that, yeah, that's okay. Go ahead, clap. Don't be afraid of that. If I have to, I'll talk over your clapping. I'm just excited. And if I have to, I'll stop until you're done or until I tell you you're done. No, just kidding. Keep clapping. It's good. I'm just joking with you. But we have to get to that place of realizing God is moving. And some of you have experienced things in your life that you doubt healing. You just believe that this is for you. This is your lot in life. And I'm telling you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. And you have to rise up and understand what God is doing in this world. In the last days, the end times, last days, he said, I will pour out my spirit. Pour it out. And if you study that, I'm not going to get into that because I got to get in my message. But I'll tell you, when you talk about the pouring out, it is amazing what that means. And that's God's plan. Listen very closely. That's God's plan for you, in spite of all the stuff that's going on, in spite of all the things you've experienced, that plan is for you. Don't reject it. Because the moment I say that, our minds and our hearts, part of our heart, goes to, well, you know, I prayed for a long time. Because that's the enemy to steal the word that I just spoke. I don't care how long you've known the Lord and how deep you are in Scripture and how anointed you are, the enemy still comes at you and tries to steal the word from you. He does to me all the time. I chuckle now, you know, and I'll just be straight with you. I was born and raised in Detroit, and then just outside of Detroit. And so, you know, my thought is, you're an idiot to the enemy. Satan's an idiot. And he thinks he's got me, but I've learned through the Word. And this is what I'm trying to teach you. We're going to talk about the levels of our growth. And remember the illustration I gave you about that map. You go to Disneyland, there's a map, and it says you are here. And God wants to take you on your life journey to get to the place of absolute maturity in the Lord and to walk in these things and to be that person that just sees things the way you need to see. So let's dive into this. Remember, our relationship with Father God is not something we earn. We talked about grace. And that relationship is a gift given freely by grace. You don't earn it. Making the choice to receive the gift is the best choice you've ever made. Even though right when you became born again, the enemy came in to try to steal and to pervert things in your life. But Jesus warned us about that. And he said, I have given you power to overcome that. Matter of fact, he says, I have already overcome the world. You just need to, by faith, believe it and walk in it. All right? However, have you considered making God's word the final authority in your life? I'll say that again. Have you considered in your life making God's word the final authority in everything? Because that's what it takes. So I'm going to show you how to move into this relationship. Because remember, last week we talked about those that were seeking. Those that didn't know the Lord, but they're seeking. And how they seek, a lot of times, yes, they may come to church, and we may have some here today. Thank you for being here. We welcome you. But they're seeking the Lord. They're seeking the truth. Because God gave each person a measure of faith to seek or to desire to worship God. And in that, we need to accept them and receive them very importantly, because they are in a place where you were. Okay, now some of us today, now you are born again, but you're beginning your journey with the Lord. And so Jesus, remember last week in the passage, the parable of Mark chapter 4, he says the parable, then he explains it later. We're going to jump back and forth on that. But I want to show you of people that have come from seeking the Lord. Now you've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. Now you're beginning, and what Jesus says about that. And how you begin to allow yourself to grow to the place where then you begin another movement from not knowing the Lord to knowing the Lord, from knowing the Lord, beginning with him, to a discipleship lifestyle. And then there's another level after that. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks. But we have to understand is that Jesus knows all things. And in this parable, he tells us exactly what takes place in the spiritual realm, or I'm going to say this, in the spiritual battle that we have on a daily basis. Because everything seems right in our life and seems good, we've made good decisions, we have a tendency to feel like that the enemy is not there trying to trip us up, because now we know God. And I want to tell you, Jesus said, in every day of your life, the enemy will come in and try to steal the word, because it's the word of God that will bless you and prosper you and bring you to the places that God has planned. And we're going to see how we handle that word, how we receive that word, how we grow in that word, and how we see the Bible. All right, and how important the Bible is to your and my life. And don't raise your hands, but how many in churches today don't even read the Bible? And the only time they read the Bible is when they read what's on the video screen at their church. So remember again, you are here right now, the place that you're at, you're there, and God's got something more for you. Again, I used all of this regarding that survey that we were included in 12 years ago. And in that survey, you see the four areas, circles or squares there, and you see the different words. And so let's go over that again, because we're going to do that today, in the next couple weeks. We're going to go over this again and again, so you begin to see the spiritual walk, the journey that all of us walk in. We're all different, gifted differently, but all of us walk in this spiritual journey. So notice in week one, which is fellowship, exploring God, notice the cross is in between, beginning with God. So Jesus Christ went to the cross, shed his blood, took stripes on his back, and now we have to make that choice. And so the relationship we're talking about is that you've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. So the first circle, again, is those that are exploring God. And when you come to the cross and receive Christ, the second is, the group is called beginning with God. And the next square there, these people are close to God. And the fourth is these people are God-centered. And we'll explain those two the next couple weeks. So let's go over this. We put words to this. And the first one is fellowship, beginning to fellowship with other believers and beginning to learn about God. So we have a lot of people that we know that are seeking God, and they're drawn to you because you know God. And have you ever, because I'm human too, but have you ever had someone that's always talking to you about stuff? And sometimes you just say, oh, there they are, I'm going the other way. Right? Okay, but understand, be led of the Holy Spirit. Be led of the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit's brought this person in your life, even though it's a little bit more work, they brought them in your life because they want to hear what you have. All right, so the second, which we're talking about today, these are the people who have received Christ and have a relationship with the Savior, and there's things that take place spiritually we need to understand so that we can grow in this beginning stage of our walk with God. The third we call discipleship, and they're living out a discipling lifestyle where they receive the word as a final authority. And then last but not least is lordship. They're living out the reality of lordship in their life. And you see it on your notes that they are givers. And we're not just talking about finances. It includes finances, but they are givers. They give their life away. All right, with all of this amazing growth God has planned for us, the only plan, you got to hear this, everybody, wherever you're at, where you are at now today, you must hear this. The only plan Satan has for us is that we abandon ship. But I want you to listen about the God that you and I serve. Even if you want to abandon ship, God will never abandon you. He's always there. But if you abandon ship, you can get swallowed by a fish. And that stinks, so don't do it. So remember, every person is always growing, and if you stop growing, because you stop growing because the word is being stolen, you will go backwards. You won't lose your salvation, but you'll go backwards. Again, last week, everyone who moved from group one, fellowship, to group two, relationship, what caused the move was they understood the truth of grace. You don't earn it, you receive it. There's nothing you can do to earn. So you receive your salvation. It is a gift of God. And there's so many people after a while, and we're going to talk about this, that after they've known the Lord for a while, they get real strong in the word and everything. Now they're walking by their own strength. Never walk by your own strength. No matter where you are, never walk by your own strength. Walk by the strength of the Holy Spirit and God in your salvation, the power of your salvation. So to move from group two, relationship, to group three, discipleship, they choose to put God's word as truth and as the final authority, and it's how they make all their decisions. I want you to understand, I don't make, now if I want to eat one more burger, I don't fast on that. Ask God, God, should I eat another burger? But here's the reality is there are a lot of things in my life I don't move on it until I ask the Lord. Or I even have a scripture that will come in agreement in that area that God has promised. And I do things, and there are times that I have to wait. There are times there's some bigger things that I'm going to do, and then I'm thinking, well, you know, I've done this before, and I've always done this before, and I know how to do this, and everything. Wait, no. I stop, and I ask the Lord, God, what do you want me to do where I'm at today? And I promise you, he'll let you know. But you learn how to listen, and that's future attractions in this series in how to do that. So now let's go to this. To group four, lordship, the movement was caused by the understanding of giving. Not just, again, your finances, but giving your life away. And we're going to read a scripture that sounds opposite in a moment of that, but I'm going to explain it to you because most people who read it think the exact opposite of what it's saying. Remember Mark chapter 4, Jesus is telling us how to overcome the enemy. So he tells us in all four groups what to look out for. I'm telling you, this is such a revolutionary teaching that I'm giving you. This is such revelational teaching that I'm giving you that I would really encourage you to go online, go on Church Center, and listen to it over and over again till you get this parable. Because remember last week, if you don't understand this parable, how can you do anything else? Here it is, group one. The enemy will try to steal the word from you. Group two, he'll try to bring persecution. Why does he bring persecution? Because he doesn't like you? Yeah, he doesn't like you. But it's for the word's sake. He's going after the word. But he uses persecution. Remember that? The seed is planted. And it's planted on the wayside. In other words, they're not born again. Planted on the wayside, and the birds come and just take the seed. and they don't get born again because of that. That's why you give your heart to people, you bless people, and they still choose to reject Jesus Christ. The reason is not because you didn't do a good job or you're not walking in anointing. It's because the enemy has stolen the seed. And they have nothing to base their decision for Jesus on. So when you are witnessing, when you're talking to those who are seeking, for those who are desiring something and fellowshipping with you, when you leave them, you get on your face before God and you, in Jesus' name, rebuke the enemy that the seed you planted will not be stolen. Amen. But you know what we do? We get offended. I did all this for them. Okay, let's go on. So, once you get born again, persecution arises. Anybody face that? You get born again and, oh, I'm so happy. And then that week, everything in your life breaks down. Your spouse says something to you that offends you. What is that? That's the enemy coming in with persecution because now you're not his anymore. You're not his anymore. And so he's trying to get you to get so angry and mad and walk in sin. But your sin was forgiven. But he's wanting you to walk in sin by being angry and frustrated in life. The group three. Then he'll try to choke the word because now you're a disciple. You're proclaiming the word. You've memorized some scripture. And you're proclaiming the word. And then now he comes in to choke it. So it's a higher type of attack on the word in your life. See, it's not talking about he goes up to you and grabs you by the neck like Hollywood, starts choking you. You have authority over that. Plus, God protects you. But here's the reality is he'll do that to choke the word that when you're choking, what happens? You can't breathe. So when he's choking the word, the word is not first place. You're worried about you got to pay this bill instead of the word of God says, if I tithe and I bring my tithe, return my tithe, and I bring offering, he says, I will bless you 30, 60, 100 fold. Amen. But we're worried about $10 to McDonald's. And it's choking the word because our mind is not on the word. Because if you're a disciple, your mind is on the word. Anybody get anything out of this? Okay, so group four. So you accept the word no matter the circumstance. And now you begin to tear up demonic forces. But if you stop giving, what happens is the enemy has stolen the word in your life, even though you've known the Lord for many years and you've gone to Bible college and you've done all this stuff and you know and you preach sermons for 30 years. I taught this to about 225 pastors. And I want to tell you, there were a lot of those pastors, the only time they're in the word is to study for their sermon. Amen. And so what we have to understand is Jesus is answering questions and bringing out to the people here, Mark chapter 4, this is what life is. This is your journey. You are here, but you're going to get over here if you understand this. And so all the other parables now will make sense to you because you're growing in your journey with God and you understand your enemy. So look at this verse that brings us these three movements, all right? The movements from 1 to 2 to 3 to 3 to 4. Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, grace, and by the word of their testimony, God's word. And they did not love their lives to the death, giving. So in other words, they've given their life away. They've died to self. So that's not talking about, you know, well, I'm just going to go and whatever happens, I'll just die for God. It's not talking physically, it's talking spiritually and your soul life. Is that you've given everything and no matter what happens, you know the word is true and you're going to move forward in that because Jesus Christ is Lord of your life and you are more than a conqueror with him. That's in a couple weeks. So we're going to see this and we need to understand this so that we can move forward. So let's now talk about relationship, those who are beginning with God, those that are born again. So let's go to Mark 4:16. This is where Jesus now is explaining the parable in the beginning of the chapter. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves. They're new in the faith, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, the enemy attacks the word, immediately they stumble. They don't lose their salvation, but they begin to sin again. Or we'll find out they begin to plan to sin. So let's talk about 2 points today. Normally I have three and maybe four. But I'm just going to have 2 points for you. First point is, what's Satan's plan? You need to know this. If you're going to win the battle in Jesus' name, you got to know the plan of your enemy. It is always good to know how to defeat an enemy's plan. All of the actions in verse 16, you have to understand, Jesus explaining the parable is talking about the word. So, better said, the battle you face throughout your life and journey with God is the battle against the word of God in your life. Everything that you have in your life, everything that you face, everything you walk in is either the word is kept in your heart, and we're going to use another term in a little bit, learn how to do that, is kept in your heart, or it's stolen. And when it's stolen, because we're free, our sin has been forgiven, then what happens is we open a door to the enemy, come in, and create problems for us. So it's always, your battle will always be the word of God, whether you take in the word of God or the word is taken from you. Look at Mark 4 again. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. These are people seeking God. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. I didn't really want to talk about the first, but it says the birds come. We commented on that last week, but we're going to go a little bit deeper with demonic forces and satanic attacks, all right? So they asked Jesus to explain it in verse 15 again, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. So here's the point. Again, Satan is trying to take the word out of your heart. And you know what I hear in some churches? That Satan can't do that because it's in your heart. Yes, he can. Because it was sown in the heart. And the birds come and steal it. All right? But when Jesus tells a story, he says, the birds of the air. Now, let me now tell you, when I was beginning with God, I learned things that helped me. When you understand that the Bible is all true, that it has a lot of parabolic and symbolic language in it, then you will be encouraged to uncover the meanings of these shadows in the Bible. It's called parables, all these things, because they have, it is a simplistic way to teach deep truth. So, I mean, Jesus is using birds, beasts, words like that, and you go, what in the world? All right, so John 5:19, Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see the Father doing it. So the question is, when did he, Jesus, see his Father do it? He's talking about the Old Testament. He saw the Father do all that he did. The Old Testament is totally true, but it has parabolic language in it. Now stick with me. Don't back away, because I want you to see how simple what I'm about to show you. Psalm 78, verse 2 says, I will open my mouth in a parable. All right, so it's of God to do that. The reason I'm telling you this is that you see it. The Bible will come alive to you if you see and understand this parabolic language. That's what Jesus said. If you understand Mark 4, you'll understand everything else. Back to Mark 4, Jesus said, the birds of the air come to devour the word. The birds come. The disciples ask, who are the birds? And Jesus nonchalantly says, oh, that's Satan. So he used that term, birds, describing Satan. When the Bible speaks of Satan, it's not just talking about the person of Satan either. It talks about the work of Satan. Satan has a third of the angels that fell with him. We talk about demonic spirits. We'll talk more about that in the next couple weeks. Look at this verse. It talks about birds, but it's really talking about demon spirits. Revelation 18:2. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Babylon has fallen because of the place of demons, foul spirits, and birds. It's not talking about literal birds. It's talking about foul spirits and demonic influence. So please know, if you have a parakeet at home, it's not a demon. Don't rebuke it when you go home. I'm not saying that, and the Bible's not saying that. So another scripture in Deuteronomy talks about the blessings and cursings. God says, follow me and obey me, and blessings will come on you. God says, if you disobey me, these curses will come upon you. Deuteronomy 28, verse 26. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. I'm talking about disobedience. All right? Now, it's not talking about a lion, a tiger, and a bear. It's not talking about an eagle or a vulture. It's talking about spiritual forces that in disobedience that they come in. But what do they come in to do? They come in to steal the word, because if the word's stolen, then you don't walk in the authority of God and you fall into diverse temptations. And you walk in that. See, there are people that you're going to look at and say, man, I know they received the Lord years ago, but man, are they going to heaven? Yeah. Why? Because you don't earn it. They confessed it. They believed it. But they fell. The word was stolen, and they lived like sinners. You with me? Okay, let's go on. All right, that's just the introduction here today. So birds and beasts are mentioned 44 times in the Old Testament. So let's look at another scripture where it's obvious the beasts are demons or demonic spirits. Let me say this. This is a verse that talks about God's sheep and God's shepherds, or when shepherds don't feed their sheep. Don't worry, I feed you. Ezekiel 34:5. So they, talking about the sheep, were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became, watch this, food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. There are spiritual beasts that want to come after you. What do? They steal the word. There are spiritual birds that want to come after you. What do? They're stealing the word. Probably the most famous verse, and you probably know it, Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent, it says, who is the serpent? Well, everyone goes, of course, because you're here. You're a valley. You know that. How do you know that? Well, I know it because Revelation 12:9 says this. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we know the serpent is the devil. Is it possible there is another spiritual meaning in the verse? Possible? Fallen angels, demonic spirits. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? I believe it is saying that Satan is the most cunning of fallen angels, of demonic spirits, and anything that you see. But you need to understand, I don't believe, one time I thought, but I don't believe Satan himself has ever confronted me. I know people who have, but it's his demonic forces that's confronted me, that's come at me trying to steal the word out of my life through tribulation, all kinds of things. And so when we say Satan's attacking you, Satan's influence is attacking you. Satan himself is not. You know why? Because he can't be everywhere. Only God can. So I hope this even helps you of understanding when you feel like, oh, all this spiritual stuff. They're coming after the word. All you have to do is recognize that, understand it, where you're at, and say, God says, I'm going this way. The word says this, and you take the word and you rebuke that bird. Or as the scripture says, that dirty bird. Right? Okay, let's go on. So, fall in love with the Bible, bottom line. The moment you become born again, fall in love with the Bible. Isaiah 4:1, let me show you this. And in that day, remember parabolic language? In that day, seven women shall take hold of one man. Ooh. Think about it. We will eat our own food and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. I'm going to explain that to you. Didn't that verse just bless you? But when you understand, there are types and shadows in the Bible, parabolic language. At times in the Bible, when it says women, it represents churches. Remember, we are the bride of Christ. All through Scripture, when it says women, it represents churches many times. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, it talks about seven women or seven churches. All right, so the seven churches represent the end time church. in the last days, in the end times, there will be seven women attacking one man, all right? Coming at one man. So, Adam, or second Adam, Jesus. So is it possible Isaiah 4:1 is saying this? In that day, what day? The end times, seven women, churches, will take a hold of one man, Jesus, and say to him, Jesus, let us eat our own food. Teach our own doctrine and provide our own clothes, which is talking about righteousness, doing it by works, which our righteousness is of filthy rags. But God put the robe of righteousness on us when we confess Jesus Christ as Lord. So he clothed us with his righteousness. Verse 1 continue. Provide our own clothes, righteousness. Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. What reproach? They're not living according to the word, but they're saying they're believers. And so that's what he's saying. In the end times, there are going to be churches that will call themselves Christians, but they have their own doctrine, their own belief system, and they believe that you have to do this in order to be saved. Do we have ministries today that do that? Yes. All right. So when you understand parabolic shadows and types, you begin to see these things. Pastor, why are you doing this? Because I'm going to conclude in talking about beginning believers. But I'm doing this because I want you to understand that so many people struggle reading the Word of God because they don't know this. And they get in the Bible and, you know, they either get in a quiet corner to be spiritual and they fall asleep, or they read stuff and they don't know what it's saying. And it's because they don't understand the fullness of the Word of God. And so when you grasp a hold of all these things and you're reading this wonderful story and all of a sudden the birds of the air consume, what, birds? You're thinking, I know it was a crow because they're black. And it's this or that. You know, it's just like people get weird. And Jesus is not being weird. He's just using parables and shadows and types. So, the prophet, he is telling us that we still want to be Christians, but you need to understand, brother, that our culture is changing. Have you heard that? Christianity? The culture is changing, and we need to minister to the change. So what do? You change the church. No, you don't. You change the word. No, you don't. Maybe it was wrong 40 years ago, but today it's okay. No, it's not. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Yeah, go ahead and clap for that. So what was right 40 years ago is right today. What was wrong 40 years ago is still wrong today. We're talking about biblical truth, not talking about man's laws. We're talking about biblical truth. What does the Bible say? And we base our life on that, because if the word is stolen, what we will do is, Jesus, we want to be Christians so it pulls away the reproach from us, but we want to live our life the way we want to live our life. That's what Jesus was saying. And how does that happen? Because we stop growing. Why do we stop growing? Not because we're bad people, because the word was stolen and we become deceived. Isn't that simple? Okay, let's keep in the simple mode. So what I just said makes a whole lot more sense to me than seven women marrying one man. And I've heard people teach on that. That's what that was saying. Leviticus 26:26 says, "When I have cut off your supply of bread," the word bread represents the word of God, or we see it in Easter, the body of Christ. Matthew 4:4 says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So it gives us this day our daily bread, gives us a word for us. That's what that's talking about, that we have a word that we take into our heart. And I'm going to talk to you how to protect it in a moment. But give us this day our daily bread. Verse 26 again. When I cut off your supply of bread, you know what that is? This is when they walked away from the word. God cut off their revelation. That's why you see people living their lives in such deception, believing it's true. Wow. All right, let's go on. So give us this day our daily bread. Now, 10 women shall bake your bread. It says this, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven. How does that work? 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall bring back your bread by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. So the explanation is when the church starts walking away from me, the word, and is having its own form of righteousness, their own form of holiness, God says, I will cut off your revelation. It will not satisfy you. God says, when I do this, lots of different churches are going to prepare your Sunday school lessons in one place. Is that happening today? Mm-hmm. They're going to bake your bread in one oven, what they think you should know. They will give a little bit, measured out, and what they give you won't ever satisfy you. You know what will satisfy you? The Word of God. The Word of God. So what is Satan's plan? To keep you out of the Bible. By the way, there are things in the Bible that you have not seen. And by the way, there are things in the Bible I have not seen yet as I continue to study. Well, here's point two. What's God's plan? So we know Satan's plan, steal the word. What's God's plan? Mark 4:20. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So here's God's plan. God wants you to bear fruit. We heard that today. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be successful in your business. He wants you to be successful in your job, in your home, in your marriage, with your children. He wants you to be successful in your finances. The only way for you to bear fruit and to be successful in life is that you will accept the word. So you're beginning with the Lord. Accept the word. The word is it for you in your growth. It is getting in the Bible. I know you fell asleep 10 times last night trying to read the Bible. Get up the 11th time. Ask the Lord. You know what I used to do? Years ago when I first started reading the word, that was the same thing. It's like, oh, because my brain, I got that type A personality. My brain goes everywhere. I got to take care of this, got to take care of this. And I would write things down what I need to take care of. And then finally, I learned if I would grab the word and just walk and read it. Oh, that's good. And then I'd walk and I'd read it. I don't sleepwalk, so I didn't have to worry about falling asleep, right? So you do that. You begin to learn what's the best time for you. You know, the Bible says we rise up early in the morning. Well, you know what? Sometimes you work nights. Sometimes you work, you know, evenings. So your morning is what time? Your morning could be 12 midnight. You find the time to get in the Word of God, the time that you can dive into it. So the only way you can bear fruit and be successful in life is that you will accept the Word. Now, to keep going and growing, it's on us. God doesn't say, okay, buddy, get in the Word. Now, He might tell you to do that, and He might bring some things to you to get in the Word. But you know why you're getting in the Word? It's because now you know that the Word is what caused my growth, what causes my blessing, what causes me to prosper. So I'm going to do that because that, and then once you get in the Word, you start falling in love with the God that you're serving in a greater way. Amen. And then if all Hades is breaking loose in your life, we're going to learn in 2 weeks the reason why. It's because the Word's been stolen. And we've opened doors. That in itself would make me want to read the Word. But I'm not trying to force anybody. I'm just trying to tell you, we have a God that so loves us. His plan is to prosper us. And His plan is us to get in the Word and keep it in our hearts. 1 hour a week in church is not enough for you to grow. In order for you to grow, spend more hours in the Word outside of class. Psalm 119 is a psalm that talks about your precepts, your statutes, your commandments, your laws. All of those are synonyms for the Word of God. This is all saying, when I get in the Word, you help me. It's still shocking to me that Satan can steal the Word out of our hearts. But there is a way stated in Scripture that he can't steal the Word out of your heart. Psalm 119:11 says, your Word, I have, listened to the Word, hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:11, your Word I have hidden in my heart. So here's the question, ongoing question. Well, how do I hide the Word in my heart? No. Two words. Meditate on the Word and memorize the Word. Meditate on the Word that it becomes revelation. And memorize it so that when the enemy does come, you recognize it, you speak the Word at him, and he has to leave. Isn't what Jesus said, it is written, 3 times? What happened? He goes into the wilderness 40 days, and what happens? 3 times, the whole aspect of the lie and the falsehood of demonic influence and the world comes at him. And all 3 times he says, it is written. And the Bible says that he came out after 40 days and 40 nights strengthened. Whew. Hallelujah. So a man who meditates on the Word will bear fruit in season. That's Psalm 1, Joshua 1. You meditate on the Word day and night that you may prosper and have good success in all you do. So I don't have time to read all of that, but you have to get to the place of recognizing these things. Very quickly, the testimony, the virus that attacked my body and was flowing through my bloodstream. went to doctor after doctor, tried to figure it out. Still working out, still preaching, still doing all I do, working the hours that I work. And just going at it, going at it, going at it. And it's destroying my internal organs. Okay, I finally go to a holistic doctor. He checks my blood. He goes, oh, I see. So we went in and took care of it. But in the process of this, I found a scripture for me. And I've been quoting this scripture every day since. It's found in Ezekiel 16:6. And when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you, in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you, in your blood, live. I run around good. And I want you to understand, it's not because I'm a preacher, a pastor, a shepherd. It's because I've hidden the word in my heart. And I meditate on it day and night. See, meditating on it is basically just saying, oh man, this morning when I read that, oh, that's so awesome. It's 12 in the afternoon, 3 o'clock, I'm working, handling this, 3 o'clock, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, you're reminding me of that scripture. It's not that I'm going, We get so weird, don't we? We just need to be simple. Meditate on the word, memorize it, so that when the attacks come, boom, you say it. Let's all stand, please. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go back. Satan's plan is to keep you out of God's word. God's plan is have a life, and in that life, abundance because of the word. Last statement I'll make. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Watching online, thank you for being with us. It's such a joy to hear some of the responses, some of you personally to me. But the abundance happens because you know the truth. And that truth sets you free. Amen. God bless you. See you tonight at 6 o'clock.